This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 205. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this week's episode, we're going to be hearing from the newly crowned Land Rover Kentucky 3-Day Event champion, Oliver Townend, who won, of course, on Cooley Masterclass and also 7th on his other horse, MHS King Jules. But before we hear from Oliver, we're going to hear from Sarah Gumbiner, who was a first-timer, and the only first-timer, at the Land Rover Kentucky 3-Day Event this year. Sarah rode Polaris, or Larry as she calls him, into 27th place with a score of 76.6. Well, congratulations on completion and welcome to the program, Sarah.
Thank you so much. It's just a dream come true.
I'll bet it is. And first of all, tell us how Larry is. You got home in the middle of the night with him to turn him out to his own pasture. What did he think of it all?
Oh my gosh. As soon as we got to the barn, I shut off the truck and he started whinnying for his friends. And he has one best friend out in the field, and he was super anxious to get off the trailer, and I put him out in the field and he had a little romp around, and he met with his friend that he hadn't seen in a week and had a good roll and then laid down and took a nap. So he was really happy to be home.
I'd imagine he has a pretty laid-back attitude to all of that, does he? I mean, he's an Irish gelding, right? So he's got a bit of ordinary blood there.
He does. He's just kind of a cool guy. I mean, and that's why his name suits him so well.
All right. Well, let's talk about your first Land Rover Kentucky 3-Day event there. Your second visit to the horse park. I understand you visited there a couple of years ago to get to know your way around a little bit while you were helping with your friend Lillian Hurd. But this time it was the real deal. Were you very nervous actually going into the event? How do you deal with the anticipation of it all at that level?
So, you know, I've been working for this goal since I got Larry. So that was about, this is my 7th season with him, and it was always a goal on the horizon. And after I got my last qualifying 3-star, everything started to become real. And when I got to the park, it was just the most amazing feeling. Just hacking around that place, you can just feel the energy. And you just kind of have to take it all in and just allow yourself to be excited that first few days and realize that you finally made it. But then you almost have to think of it as a normal horse trial the best you can. But it was tough to do. I mean, the amount of people that were there and the publicity that's there and just the energy that follows you around is just incredible. But, you know, you have a lot of work in front of you and you have to stay focused and you have to think about every bit of the competition and, you know, the people around me that I have been training with. Boyd, he was able to keep me focused and keep me on task. And you know, I think that I was able to kind of keep my head straight and get through the week.
Let's talk about each of the phases. But before we do that, Sarah, just explain a little bit about his background. Larry, as you say, you've been riding him quite a while now and you train with Boyd. He's Irish through and through, and he's a good height too, 17.1, so you've got a big horse underneath you there. And he was bred, we should mention, by Phyllis Dawson, as I understand it.
Yes, we got him straight from Phyllis Dawson. I started riding with Boyd straight after college. I had never evented before I started working for Boyd. I was introduced to eventing through college by one of my coaches in school, and I evented her little pony. And I got hooked right away, but I had just done an unrecognized event. And so when I graduated college, I knew that I wanted to pursue eventing. So I basically begged Boyd for a job for about 3 months. And he finally brought me on board down in Aiken, and I brought this little pony that I had because I didn't have my own horse, and he wouldn't take me without a horse. So I brought that pony, and so I started working with Boyd, and I rode a couple of horses before we went looking for Larry. But when it was time to look for Larry, I was fortunate enough to find an owner that was interested in sponsoring me and my journey. And Boyd gave me a call and said that he had gone to try a couple of horses at Phyllis's and that he thought that Polaris was perfect for me. So we got in the car and we rode down to Phyllis Dawson's and we tried him, and I knew right away that he was my horse. I just, you know, I got chills when I saw him, and I remember getting back in the car with the owner at the time, Ann Naughn, and my mom, and Ann looked back at me and she goes, "So what do you think?" And I was just giddy, and I was like, "We'd have to call him Larry." So we brought him back to Boyd's, and you know, Boyd, I was still working for Boyd at the time, so he was able to really help me every single day along the way to help bring along this horse, because he was so different than anything I'd ever ridden. I mean, I'm 5'1", and he's 17'1", and he was all legs and gangly and, you know, had done one beginner novice. So it was definitely a learning curve for both of us.
Well, clearly it's a partnership that's working for you. Talk about the owner that you now have, Vanessa Crumpley.
Yes. Right after Fair Hill, this past fall, Anne died suddenly and unexpectedly, which was a huge shock to all of us. And it's, you know, it's still affecting us. She was an unbelievable mentor and a wonderful friend. And right after her passing, Vanessa Crumpley gave me a call, who had been an owner for me for a few years that I met through Boyd. And she had owned a thoroughbred for me. And she called me and she said, "You know, Sarah, I just want to let you know that I've seen you work with this horse all these years. And, you know, I would be honored to take over the expenses and help you fulfill your dream." And I was just amazed at that. So we kind of went forward, and she was able to, we now own him together. And I'm forever grateful for that.
Well, what a wonderful relationship. And I'm sure she was in Kentucky then with you to enjoy the event, was she?
Yes, she did. She came to Kentucky, and she had been there once before with another horse. So it was definitely not her first experience, but I'm sure she was overwhelmed by the whole thing. I mean, Larry's such an amazing horse, and he's got a great story, and I think she was able to kind of take it all in and enjoy the moment.
Well, let's continue his story then, starting with the dressage phase there, a different test, the arena the other way around, a lot of changes in the scoring and several aspects of the sport, and of course the course as well, we'll talk about in a minute. But let's begin with that dressage and what your expectations were going into the test there with the horse that you arrived with in Kentucky, Sarah.
So when I first got there on Monday, I was pretty pleased with him because I hacked him around and he felt very calm and relaxed. And, you know, the dressage was always our toughest phase. And it was actually the phase that I was the most nervous for, believe it or not, just because I've had some pretty rough experiences with him on the flat. But then on Tuesday, all of a sudden he got excited. I think he started to feel, you know, my tension, and he started to feel the energy from the park, and he started to feel like his normal spooky Irish self. So there were a lot of nerves going into the dressage phase on Thursday. But I was very relieved to see that I was draw 20, because I figured that Thursday would be a much quieter day. So the atmosphere might be a little bit less intense. So I rode him a few times on Thursday morning trying to get the edge off, and he actually felt great in the warm-up, but I just wasn't sure how he would react to that big arena. But to my surprise, you know, he went in there and he held it together. It wasn't our most relaxed test, and I feel like for the most part, I was just trying to hold them together. You know, we still have a lot of work to do on the quality of our movements and his gaits, but I felt like we held it together and we were able to finish the test without any huge mistakes. So I was pretty thrilled with him.
Big relief then when that was all over. And by then you would have seen the course. What was your anticipated ride? Let's talk about what you were expecting going on that cross-country course and the first time around that track, some changes, of course. And, you know, it was a very testing track. It was full-on four-star, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, when I first walked around it, I didn't know what to expect. I had walked it 2 years ago after after cross country because I was helping in the vet box. So I didn't really get to see any of the course before it was run, but I was able to walk around it a little bit after. But I just don't think it gave me the same feel. Plus, I think that when you're walking the course and you don't have to ride it, you get sort of a different impression of the course than when you know that you have to run around it. So, you know, as I was walking around it, it was just, my first impression is that it's just big. I mean, every fence was maxed out. There are really no let up fences. My horse is ditchy. He's always been ditchy, and there are some massive ditches on that course. But, you know, as I walked around it, I kind of thought that the more I walked around it, the more I thought that I really thought I could do it. You know, I knew that it was going to be the toughest test that I've ever ridden. But I had confidence in my horse. He's a big, scopey, brave horse. And, you know, I just had faith that if we were on point and we were sharp, that we'd be able to get around. And I was right.
Well, you certainly did in style. Were you concerned at all being, you know, an Irish horse? You know, if he would make that time, though, obviously you had a bit. You did have some time. Were you yes. concerned about that? Or were you just going to go with the flow, Sarah?
You know, I talked to Boyd at length about making time, and you know, the first reaction at your first four star is you sort of want to survive and you want to finish at the end. But I think, and what Boyd has always said is that if you go into your first four star and just think that you need to survive, that you're not going to get around. You know, you have to go in there with a competitive attitude, and you have to go in there and think, I'm going to do my best to make time. But with that being said, I also knew that I'd have to take my time at some of the combinations because he is still a little bit backed off. Also, he is so scopey. So I feel like I lose about a half a second over every single jump because he just jumps so massive over these jumps. So I was pretty happy with him. I think that, you know, when I have another crack at it next year, I can get a little closer to time because he is so big strided. But I think that sometimes I have a disadvantage because it just takes me a little bit longer to bring him back. I can't gallop him into these combinations because his stride is just so massive. So, you know, I have to get a bit better at that at this level. And, you know, and I'm sure that we'll improve come next year.
And going into that big arena for the final show jumping phase, I mean, a wonderful atmosphere, of course. You were concerned about how he would deal with the atmosphere going into there for dressage. You'd been in there. He knew his way around a little bit. But this is a different feel, isn't it? It's jam-packed. And, of course, there was your anticipation and nerves. Did he feel those?
Yeah, I think he definitely did. You know, I wasn't sure what kind of horse I was going to have on that third day. You know, I've ridden big tracks before, and that third day show jumping, you just usually have a different horse than what you're used to. And I wasn't really sure what I was going to have. He felt great in the warm-up. He felt like he was full of fire, which was awesome. Gave me a really great feeling that he was definitely fit enough to be there. And it was funny, as I was walking down to the arena, it is a bit overwhelming. And as I was standing there ready to go in, when the person in front of me finished, the crowd, you know, applauded so loudly that Larry actually spooked at them. And, you know, it sort of gave me a laugh because it was just so incredible to be there. And, you know, for him to have that reaction, it was just, he could feel it too, you know. And I think he was a little bit of a different horse than I thought I was going to have. He was a little bit spookier, but also, you know, I wasn't able to quite get that canter that I wanted. So, you know, we had a couple of rough moments in there, but we held together and had three down. But I know that'll be easy enough to improve on the next time.
Yeah, and the time was a bit tight too. There was a lot of people picked up time in there. So what would you say were the lessons that he taught you from this event, Sarah?
You know, I think that cross country, we both learned a lot from the beginning to the end. As soon as I set off on that cross country course, I could feel that he was a little bit backed off. I don't know if it was that he didn't realize what we were doing or if he was backed off from the atmosphere, but I feel like, you know, I had to get after him a little bit in the beginning. He was just a little bit sticky. And by the end of the course, he felt like a veteran. And I think that the two of us just learned how to just get better and learn over just a single course. But I also, you know, I also learned that no matter, you know, no matter what you're doing, no matter what level you're at, you just have to stick with it. And a horse like Larry, who's given me so much trouble on the flat over these years, you know, if you just stick to it and you just keep working, that you'll get there. And you just got to keep your eye on your prize and find help and, you know, just keep working hard.
Well, you certainly did. You arrived at the biggest stage there is for the sport in this country. And obviously a very emotional time for you and your connections as well. What sort of fun did you get out of this as well? I'm sure there were moments when it was just, you know, a pinch me moments. I'm just having so much fun. I'm not talking about the riding element. I'm talking about, you know, the atmosphere, the parties, the socializing, you know, and everything else that makes up this great event.
You know, it was incredible to have my friends and my family come. And they've been talking about coming and supporting me at Kentucky ever since I started talking about Kentucky. But for them to actually come and be a part of it, it was really neat because we were able to rent a house and all my closest friends and family were able to stay with us. And it was just neat to be able to reflect on each day and just take a deep breath and realize how many people I have backing me and supporting me and so proud. And, you know, just being able to walk around that park and have the people that I love that are around me and feeling just as excited and just as proud as I was just an incredible feeling. And then there was one moment that made me laugh when I, a couple times they had asked me to do some autograph signings, which is just surreal to me, you know, that people would line up. And it helps because the one time that I did an autograph signing, Boyd was there, so the line was extra long. But it was just really neat to have these young girls and these people that have had similar dreams to me to just be able to look up to me and ask for an autograph. That's just, it was really fun and surreal. But when I was coming right before stadium, I was coming out of the arena to put my jacket down or something. And I kind of like left the path that leads down to the stadium. And as soon as I stepped foot, there were like three or four girls that ran up to me and they were like, "Can we have your autograph?" And it just made me laugh because it was an unbelievable moment. And I don't think these girls realize, you know, what it makes us riders feel like too, to be looked up to that way. And I just appreciate everything that these people do for us. And I just felt so blessed.
Very special moments for you. Your first Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event. And as you said, those special moments like that, when you think back on, obviously on your career as well and how you came up through the sport and the idols that you had and how you aspired to one day ride in that arena. And so dreams have come true, as you said at the start of the program, and you really have made them come true. And now what for Larry? Of course, he's kicking it back in the paddock now. He's got obviously a well-deserved break. But what are the plans for him for the rest of the year?
So he'll have at least a month off to recover, and then we'll bring him up, and the fall goal will be Fairhill 3-star, and we'll hope to get a little bit more competitive there, and then I imagine we'll shoot for Kentucky again in the spring, but I still have to sit down with Boyd and kind of come up with a plan. You know, now's the time to kind of regroup and reflect and figure out the best path to grow and be better and be more competitive and, you know, and move on.
And as you said, you drove through the night. We're recording this on Monday, so you haven't had a chance to actually celebrate with all your friends and connections, your team there. Is that going to be the Monday night party?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. You know, I think it's time to have a drink and celebrate everything that, you know, that we've accomplished and realize the dreams that have come true and just have a good time.
Well, I hope you do have a wonderful evening, and congratulations again, Sarah, on completing your first Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event there, and the very best of luck to you and Larry in the future. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you so much.
Well, Ollie joins me now back in England, and probably hardly caught your breath, Ollie, have you, from the whirlwind weekend and flying home in time to turn around for Babington?
No, it's been very, very good. Good flight home. No hitches there, and I've had a chance to ride the two badminton horses today, so all going well so far.
Well, first of all, congratulations. This obviously means a great deal to you for many reasons. Let's talk about your partnership with the horse and what your first reaction was when you realized you won and what this meant to you and this partnership.
Firstly, just huge relief. I've had the horse since he was 4 years old and always very much rated him. We got him at the back end of after selling a lot of good horses, and I rode him as the first couple of times at home, and I remember it like yesterday, thinking, right, you know, one way or another, try and keep this one because he feels very, very good, and I like his personality. I love him as a type. I love him as a person, and let's just try and keep him. So I was lucky enough to sell him, to keep the ride on him, to Angela Hislop. And it's great that he's finally got there. He's had a few hiccups on the way in terms of he's not been the soundest in his life, in terms of he's had a few niggles. Nothing special, never a big injury, but just he's a fairly soft character and fairly soft physically as well, but we've found a way of managing that, and such wood, he looks to have come out the event fantastically. Like, I was so impressed with how he was on Saturday night and the Sunday morning.
Talk about his preparation a little bit, Ollie, and what your expectations were of him bringing him over here. Of course, it's always a big risk when you cross the pond to do an event like this. What were your realistic expectations of how you had led up to the event? And then, of course, you produced that wonderful dressage test, which was probably a personal best, was it?
I don't know. He's had very good marks in the past, but quite honestly, I kind of struggle with all the marking systems and swapping and changing and whatever. But, you know, he did very well. Look, it was his first four-star. He did a very mistake-free test. I thought that he was judged probably a little harshly in places. I've managed to watch the test, and there were certain bits that I was reading the sheets and he'd got sevens for, and I honestly don't know what I'd have done any different for an eight or even a nine, like in the canter stretch and things. But there we go, that's dressage. But yeah, it was a big risk going over there. There was no funding from our federation at all, so I had to twist both of my owner's arms to fund it, both Angela Hislop and Tom Jewell. And thank God and thank them ever so much for taking the gamble on me. And I'm glad that the gamble paid off. Obviously, I took two good horses. We went out there to try and be as competitive as possible and hoped that we'd pull it off. But, you know, it was a big risk because he's not done a three-day event for 3 or maybe even 4 years now. So I didn't know whether he'd get the trip. So I was starving myself for 3 weeks in the run-up to it, trying to get as light as possible, and luckily it all paid off and he finished with his ears pricked and really grew to the task.
Well, he certainly did. He really sparkled this weekend. And let's talk about the cross-country, though. This is some new aspects, of course, to that track, although you know the turf, Ollie. What were your impressions when you first walked it, and what were your expectations going into it?
I thought, my God, we've not had much practice for this when I walked it, to tell you the truth, in terms of, you know, there were a lot of serious angles out there. I have an awful lot of faith in your designer, Derek. I think he's absolutely world-class, if not, well, definitely one of the best in the world. And I think that really showed that how the horses clocked on and understood the questions, despite them walking very, very tough lines. I thought it rode beautifully, but I think that the course designer did an exceptional job in making us scratch our heads and really worry about the corner in the water, really worry about the corner after the second water, really worry about the angled hedges, three from home. So I was very, very aware that I had to be on my A game and, you know, very switched on right till the end.
And, of course, you had a fit horse under you, too. Your preparation obviously went very well for this in terms of his fitness, and he came out of that very well at the end of the day. You were happy with him?
Over the moon with him. I mean, we can't quite get over how both horses coped well. I mean, it's been a disaster of a spring season in England. More events have been cancelled than have actually run, so... Cooley Masterclass was probably a run short. He only did two open intermediates very, very slowly. So literally two cross-country schools around fairly small courses. King Jules had a better preparation. He had two OIs and then an advanced run at Burnham Market. So he'd had three runs, which was probably more preparation runs than any other horse in England. So he had a good preparation, but I was over the moon with how they finished and over the moon with how fit they were.
Well, as you say, testament to you and your preparation despite the nasty spring you've had over there. So let's take us into the stadium, into the show jumping there. You know Richard Jefferies' courses. You know he's going to set you a real test in the Rolex Arena there. What was your impressions of it compared to the courses that you've ridden in there before, Ollie? What did you think of this one?
I just think that the guy is absolutely at the top of his game. I know it's easy to always say positive things when you've won a big class, but the two designs there really, really are as good as you get anywhere in the world. And he always builds a really interesting course. I've seen it more at the Gallop there, because obviously your arena's huge, but it was technical, it was just really, really well done, and also stood up at you enough. You know, my first impression was that it didn't look huge from the outside of the ring, and then you get in there and it grows, and you know, you've got a normal distance on six strides to a water tray, and then what seemed to be a blooming long six strides to a vertical going into a white vertical going into the white tent with the white rails behind it. And all of a sudden you think, God, it's going to take a bit of jumping this. So it was a very, very special course, I thought, and one that you had to, again, be awake about the time, awake about keeping tight lines and making distances happen.
Well, it certainly sorted everyone out, as it normally does there. And it must, as you say, have been a huge relief for you when you saw that Mickey had a rail down and you could breathe a sigh of relief. And also the pressure, Ollie, did you feel any pressure? Because you had two horses in the top 10 there, but especially with the Grand Slam in the back of your mind, or do you just erase that notion of the Black Grand Slam being an option?
Yeah, no, not at that stage. I mean, people kept asking. I can't not think about the Grand Slam because it's drummed into me by every single person that, you know, that asks me any sort of question. It's on everyone's list. But when I'm riding the horses, I'm a little bit strange. I didn't feel pressure. I felt very happy. I was really happy with the two horses that I rode there. You know, I've never been out there with two horses that I think have got the ability to be exceptionally good horses, as in, you know, superstars. Both horses are just exceptionally, exceptionally talented. King Jules is probably the trickiest I've had, but I was, every time I got on a horse, I just felt very happy and relaxed. When I didn't feel happy and relaxed was when I got off Cooley after he jumped a clear and thought, you know, now I can't do anything about it. Now it's up to the other two guys to make mistakes, which thankfully they did. And obviously we had luck on our side.
You certainly did. And as a rider, Ollie, you take something away from every event, every ride, every round that you have. What did you take away from this particular competition with your leading horse, obviously with Masterclass, because this is an important horse for the future too?
Yeah. Quite honestly, it just made me breathe a sigh of relief that we know exactly what we're doing, because, you know, we had them a little sort of on the fat side to travel, and I wanted them arriving as well as possible. I've you know, sent horses in the past, and one of them looked like he'd been on a starvation diet for I don't know how long. You know, he arrived half the size that he set off, and, you know, I was a bit disappointed with. And they just, from word go, I just looked at them and thought, my God, you actually look as good as I possibly could have you. God, are you fit enough? And they've just answered the questions. We know, obviously, the gallops that we use very, very, very well, every inch of them now. And, you know, just reiterated that the system works for me, and I'm just thrilled with the team, thrilled with the people that are working for me, because, quite honestly, it's just been the most horrific winter. We've just been cold and wet for 4 months every single day. We've not had, up until coming to America, I don't think we'd had a single day that we hadn't been wet through at some stage for 4 months. And it kind of grinds away at you and gets you down. And, you know, it's hard work getting the horses right in the skin and getting them looking as well as you want them to look, because obviously they're always wet through. So it's been a tough winter, but just thrilled to bits for the, not for myself as much as for the team around me and the owners that support me.
Well, we did present some beautiful weather for you. You got the sunshine on your back in Kentucky there, and good footing. So a nice experience for you, Ollie. And I'm just wondering, collectively now, when you were flying home, probably apart from needing a drink and taking a nap, what was going through your mind? What were your biggest takeaways from the Land Rover Kentucky three-day event this time?
Just how fantastic the event was. Met some wonderful people out there that I've never met before, and new friends, great competition, great courses, and definitely, you know, the best facility in the world. It's just second to none. We love coming out there, and obviously I've had good results out there. I've got good memories from the past, but obviously everything gets overtaken. Nobody remembers that I was placed the last couple of times that I was there. Everybody just seems to remember me leaving in an air ambulance. So it's nice to put that one to bed, and it's nice to pick another of the big events off. You know, I do, by the time I've finished my career, I do want to have won as much as possible, and it's just nice to get another one out of the way.
Well, you certainly did, in style, I may say, Ollie. And now on to Badminton. And you're going to ride both. You're going to ride Cooley and Ballymore Class? You're going to ride them both this week?
Yeah, Cooley SRS. So he's by the same sire as my Kentucky winner, Ramiro B, who I have an interest in. I bought the stallion with Nina Barber a good few years ago now. I think he's 25 this year, but still going strong. So, yeah, Cooley SRS is my first ride, and then Ballymore Class, the grey horse, is my second one.
Right. Well, obviously an exciting couple of weeks for you, Ollie, and the very best of luck. I'm not going to mention those three words again, but it all bodes well. So we want to wish you the very best of luck. But more importantly, congratulations on winning the 2018 Land Rover Kentucky three-day event. And all the best with this partnership in the future, Ollie. I'm sure we'll see you back on American soil before much longer.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
And you can find a full report of the Kentucky event on the website at useventing.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media at US Eventing on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and keep up with all the latest news and events from around the country. And if you'd like to hear more episodes of the USEA's official podcast, be sure to download it free from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode of the USEA's official podcast. Until then, thank you for listening and enjoy your eventing.